Welcome to Zikhu Daf Simani Member by Ram Goldar and today Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Beis, the third parak called Salami.
The Zikhu Masechta Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and Lezecher Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah.
So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Reish Lakish, who says an idol which is broken is nullified, was challenged from a braisa which teaches that an Akum can nullify his own idol or another Akum's idol by damaging it, but a Yisrael cannot nullify an Akum's idol. According to Reish Lakish, the idol should be nullified automatically since it was broken. Abaye answers Shibachasa, the cases where the Yisrael only struck it and dented it, but no part was broken off. The Gemara said a mission proves that denting is sufficient damage to Mimavato an idol and answers that this is only where an Akum dented it, demonstrating his rejection of it. But if a Jew dented it, it is not batal, and since it was not physically reduced, it's not batal like a broken idol. Rava answers that fundamentally an idol is batal when Yisrael dents it. However, there is a gezera dilma magbala v'hadima batala. Perhaps the Yisrael will lift it, thereby acquiring it, and only then attempt to nullify it, which would be ineffective because kovros kochavim biyad Yisrael ena batela la'olam. Any idol in a Yisrael's possession can never be nullified. This answer is used for a number of other challenges to Reish Lakish. Point number two, Reish Lakish is challenged from a Mishnah discussing planting vegetables under an Asherah, a worship tree. Rabbi Yossi says one may not even plant vegetables under it during the winter, although the Asherah shade is harmful. Because its leaves fall upon them and fertilize them, resulting in a benefit from the forbidden tree. According to Reish Lakish, the leaves should be permitted as an idol which broke on its own. The Gemara answers that this case is different. The main part of the idol, meaning the tree, remains intact and is not nullified, so the leaves also are prohibited. The Gemara objects that if one shaves down an idol for the idol's benefit, the shavings are permitted, even though the idol remains prohibited. Rav Huna Breid and Rabbi Yeshua answers, because an idol is not nullified through its natural growth, where the natural process is for leaves to fall off and for new ones to grow in their place. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one finds utensils, Baalehem Tzuras Chama, Tzuras Levana, Tzuras Drakon, and upon them is a figure of the sun, the moon, or a dragon, Yolichem L'yam HaMelech, he should bring them to the Dead Sea and throw them in. Mishnah Gamliel says, Shal Mechubadim Asurin, those figures which are undignified utensils are prohibited, but Shal HaMuvazim Mutarin, those on undignified utensils are permitted because they were presumably not worshipped. The Mishnah implies that only these figures are worshipped, and the Gemara asks that a Braisa teaches that if one slaughters an animal for the sake of mountains, hills, seas, rivers, a desert, for the sun, the moon, stars, and constellations, for Michael Sar HaGadol, or for a tiny worm, the slaughtered animal is considered Zivchei Mesim, sacrifices of the dead, and prohibited. This proves that idolaters commonly worship all kinds of idols, and not just the three mentioned in the Mishnah. Gemara answers that although they worship many kinds of idols, but regarding Meitzar Umifuche, forming an image on a utensil and worshiping it, only these three designs, the Chashibe, which are prominent, do they design onto utensil and worship, but regarding other designs, Lenoi Ba'ama Abdiluhu, they make them merely for ornamental purposes. So once again, the three points are number one, Reish Lakish, who says an idol which is broken is nullified, was challenged from a braisa which teaches that an Akum can nullify his own idol or another Akum's idol by damaging it, but a Yisrael cannot nullify an Akum's idol. According to Reish Lakish, the idol should be nullified automatically since it was broken. Abaye answers Shibachasa, the cases where the Yisrael only struck it and dented it, but no part was broken off. The Gemara said a mission proves that denting is sufficient damage to Mimavato an idol and answers that this is only where an Akum dented it, demonstrating his rejection of it. But if a Jew dented it, it is not batal, and since it was not physically reduced, it's not batal like a broken idol. Rava answers that fundamentally an idol is batal when Yisrael dents it. However, there is a gezera dilma magbala v'hadima batala. Perhaps the Yisrael will lift it, thereby acquiring it, and only then attempt to nullify it, which would be ineffective because kovros kochavim biyad Yisrael ena batela la'olam. Any idol in a Yisrael's possession can never be nullified. This answer is used for a number of other challenges to Reish Lakish. Point number two, Reish Lakish is challenged from a Mishnah discussing planting vegetables under an Asherah, a worship tree. Rabbi Yossi says one may not even plant vegetables under it during the winter, although the Asherah shade is harmful. Because its leaves fall upon them and fertilize them, resulting in a benefit from the forbidden tree. According to Reish Lakish, the leaves should be permitted as an idol which broke on its own. The Gemara answers that this case is different. De'ikar avodas kol chavim kayemus. The main part of the idol, meaning the tree, remains intact and is not nullified, so the leaves also are prohibited. The Gemara objects that if one shaves down an idol for the idol's benefit, the shavings are permitted, even though the idol remains prohibited. Rav Huna Breda Rabbi Yeshua answers, because an idol is not nullified through its natural growth, where the natural process is for leaves to fall off and for new ones to grow in their place. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one finds utensils, Ba'alehem tzuras chama, tzuras levana, tzuras drakon, and upon them is a figure of the sun, the moon, or a dragon, Yolichem liyam hamelech, he should bring them to the Dead Sea and throw them in. Rishon Gamliel says, Shal mechubadim asurin, those figures which are undignified utensils are prohibited, but Shal hamuvazim mutarin, those on undignified utensils are permitted because they were presumably not worshipped. The Mishnah implies that only these figures are worshipped, and the Gemara asks that a Braisa teaches that if one slaughters an animal for the sake of mountains, hills, seas, rivers, a desert, for the sun, the moon, stars, and constellations, for Michael Sarhagado, or for a tiny worm, the slaughtered animal is considered zivche mesim, sacrifices of the dead, and prohibited. This proves that idolaters commonly worship all kinds of idols, and not just the three mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara answers that although they worship many kinds of idols, but regarding Meitzar Umifleche, forming an image on a utensil and worshipping it, only these three designs, the Chashibe, which are prominent, do they design onto a utensil and worship, but regarding other designs, Lenoi Ba'ama Abdeluhu, they make them merely for ornamental purposes. Alright, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Beis, and our standard Siman is a mobster. A mobster, so here goes. The Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asher trees, fallen leaves, and threw all the kelim with sun and moon engravings they had collected into the Yam HaMelech. Once again, slow motion. The Jewish mobster's mobsters, that must be on Daf Mem Beis. The Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol, which reminds us, Rish Lakish, who says an idol which is broken is nullified, was challenged by Bryce, which teaches that an Akum can nullify his own idol or another Akum's idol by damaging it, but a Yisrael cannot nullify an Akum's idol. According to Rish Lakish, the idol should be nullified automatically since it was broken. Abaya answers, Shebchasa, the case is where the Yisrael only struck it and dented it, but no part was broken off. So the Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asherah's tree, fallen leaves, which reminds us, Rish Lakish's challenge from a mission was discussing planting vegetables under an Asherah, a worship tree. Rabbi Yossi says one may not even plant vegetables under it during the winter, although the Asherah's shade is harmful because its leaves fall upon them and fertilize them, resulting in a benefit from the forbidden tree. According to Rish Lakish, the leaves should be permitted as an idol which broke on its own. The Gemara answers that this case is different because the main part of the idol, meaning the tree, remains intact and is not nullified, so the leaves also are prohibited. So the Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asherah's tree, fallen leaves, and threw all the kelim with sun and moon engravings they had collected into the Yam HaMelech, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one finds utensils, Ba'alehem tzuras chama, tzuras levana, tzuras drakon, and upon them is a figure of the sun, the moon, or a dragon, Yolichem liyam HaMelech, he should bring them to the Dead Sea and throw them in. Rishon Gamliel says, Shal mechubadim asurin, those figures which are undignified kelim are prohibited, but Shal hamuvuzin mutarin, those on undignified kelim are permitted because they were presumably not worshipped. The Gemara explains that although they worship many kinds of idols, but regarding forming an image on a keli and worshipping it, only these three designs, the chashive, which are prominent, do they design onto a utensil and worship, but regarding other designs, they make them merely for ornamental purposes. So once again, the Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asherah's tree, fallen leaves, and threw all the kelim with sun and moon engravings they had collected into the Yam HaMelech. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Lamed Ches. So the Siman Daf Lamed Ches is a double lach, a liquid, and we use soup. So here goes. The Yid who bought vegetable soup, that must more on Daf Lamed Ches, a double lach. The Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are Nechol Chai, which reminds us, Rav says, Kol Nechol Kamoshu Chai, any food which is eaten raw, for example, fruit, Embo Mishum Bishuli Odechokhavim, is not subject to the prohibition against foods cooked by idolaters,
even if he did cook it. This is how Rav's ruling was taught in Surah, but in Pumadisa they taught the following version. Any food which is not eaten at the king's table to accompany bread, meaning it's not a dignified food, is not subject to the prohibition against Bishul Akum. So the Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are nechochai used burnt grasshoppers from the Goy burning his field as an appetizer. Which reminds us, if an Akum burned down a meadow, all the kosher grasshoppers which were inadvertently roasted in the fire are permitted because we say he intended only to expose the ground to the meadow, not to cook. So the Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are nechochai used burnt grasshoppers from the Goy burning his field as an appetizer, and asked his friend to light the Goyish baker's fire so he can top off his meal with a fresh loaf of bread. Which reminds us, a braisa teaches that a Jew may place meat on top of coals and allow an Akum to come turn it until he returns from the Beis Knesses or Beis Midrash, and there's no concern of Bishul Akum. Although the Akum's actions hasten the cooking process, it's still permitted, since it would have eventually cooked on its own without the Akum's involvement. Daf Lamed Tes, so the Siman Daf Lamed Tes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Siman. So here goes. The Yid who refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, who uses letter opener. Mailman, letter? That must be on Daf Lamed Tes. The Yid who refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, who uses letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis taught that a grain of chiltis of an Akum is prohibited to eat. It's a plant with a very sharp flavor. The Gemara explains it's because he cuts it with his knife, which he had previously used to cut non-kosher food, and the food is transferred to the chiltis when it's cut. Although ordinarily the law is nosen tam lefgam mutter, where forbidden food transfers flavor to the detriment of the mixture, it is permitted, but in this case, because of the sharpness of the chiltis, it sweetens the fats on the knife, the havli kenosen tam shebach, and is thereby like a case of transferring flavor to the mixture's benefit, and is forbidden. So the Yid refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, who uses letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the Eved of the Chaver, who recently passed away, which reminds us, the slave of Rabbi Levi would sell chiltis, and after Rabbi Levi passed away, Rabbi Yochanan was asked if they could continue to purchase it from him. He said, Avdo shel chaver haru kochaver. The slave of a chaver is like a chaver and may be relied upon. In a similar incident, Rav Huna bar Manyumi purchased chelas from the wife of Rav Amram Chasida and was uncertain if he could assume it was legitimate chelas until hearing that Shmuel ruled, Eshes chaver haru kochaver. A chaver's wife is like a chaver. So the Yid who refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, he used his letter opener, which doubled, as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the Eved of the Chaver, who recently passed away, noticed a Yiddish mailman sitting on a mailbox near a Goy milking cows, rendering the milk Chalav Yisrael, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists foods of an Akum which are permitted in consumption, beginning with Chalav Shel Chalavu Ove Kochavim Yisrael Ro'eyu, milk which an idolater milked and the Yisrael sees him. A braisa clarifies that a Yisrael may sit beside an idolater's herd, and although he cannot see the Akum from his sitting position, and the Akum may milk the animal and bring the milk to the Yisrael, who need not be concerned that the milk is not kosher. Daf Mem. So the Siman Daf Mem relates to Mayim, and we use a pool. So here goes. At the little fish swimming pool. Pool. That must be on Daf Mem. Mayim. Pool. At the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshay and Truva was served, because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, which reminds us, the mission on the previous daf taught that Tarshay and Truva, a type of small fish, which is minced, is permitted to eat. Abrais explains, kosher rosh v'shidra nikar, whose head and spine are recognizable as kosher fish. Rapuna says, this means achite rosh v'shidra nikar. It's not permitted unless both the head and spine are recognizable. But Rav Nachman says, it's sufficient if either the head or spine is recognizable. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshayna Trufa was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, which reminds us, Rav said, Kirbe dogim ubaron e nikokin elamina mumcha. The innards of fish and their eggs may only be purchased from an expert in identifying kosher species. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshayna Trufa was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, there was a statue of a lifeguard with a whistle in his hand that was usher, Bahana, which reminds us, the third parak begins, Kol Tzlamim Asurim, all human images are usher Bahana, Mipnei Shehen Evadim Pamachas Bashana, because they're worshipped once a year. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chachamim say, Eino asra el koshi yesh biyado mako and zipor kandur. An image is not prohibited unless it has in its hand a staff, a bird, or a spear.
The atoms in their hands are intended to depict their power over the world, and such images were more likely worshipped. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel prohibits any image which has anything in its hand. The Rabbanan agree that any image worshipped even once a year is prohibited.
Daf Memov. So the Simon Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, grandma, that must be on Daf Memov. The grandma who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzlamim in her Sveika collection, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a motzi Shibrei Tzlamim, if one finds broken pieces of images, hayil mutarin, they are permitted. Matzah tavnis yadu, tavnis regel, if he found a figure of a hand or a foot, they are prohibited because such items are worshipped in that form. Shmuel teaches that the Mishnah's first ruling does not only mean to permit broken Tzlamim, which are not known to have been worshipped, and therefore are Sveika, a double suffix, since they may have never been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when broken. So the grandma who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzlamim in her Sveika collection pointed to her Goyish neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden. And which reminds us, the Gemara discusses Avodas Kol Chavim Shenishtabra Me'eleha, an idol which broke on its own, meaning it was not shattered intentionally by a person. Rabbi Yochanan says Asura Dehalobatla, it's still forbidden because the Akum did not necessarily nullify it, merely because it broke. Reish Lakish says Murteres Mistama Bituli Mevatla, it's permitted because presumably he nullified it, because he says to himself, it could not even save itself from breaking. Can it save me? So the grandma, who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzlamim in her Sveika collection, pointed to her Goyish neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden, and explained to her friend that it was because Ein Safik Motzmi Deivadai, it was certainly worshipped, and it's only a Safik if it was nullified. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan explains further that broken Tzlamim are permitted because they may not have been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when they broke. But a broken idol, known to have once been worshipped, is prohibited because they definitely worshipped it previously. Who says that he nullified it when it broke? Havi safek uvadai. It's thus a case of a safek against a vadai. Ve'ein safek motzi midei vadai. And an uncertainty cannot remove something from its prior certain status.
All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that Yosi ben Yoezer ruled the Mashka Bei Mitbechai is Doch and is Tahor, and we have Machlokes what Tahor means, which is dependent on the Machlokes whether Tumas Mashkin is Metami Deraisa or Derabanan. That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 2.
Which daf do you discuss a Yisrael nullifying an Akum's idol? That's on daf
Membeis. Good. Number 3.
Which stuff do we discuss if all Tzlamim are prohibited or only those with objects in their hands? That's on daf Mem.
Good. Number 4.
Which stuff do you discuss planting under an Asherah tree where the leaves of the tree fall off and fertilize the vegetables below? That's on daf
Membeis.
Good. Number 5.
Which stuff do you know that Rav explains that Daniel decreed against the Shemen of an Akum? That's on daf
Lamed Vav.
Good.
Number 6.
Which daf do you learn that if an Akum burned down a meadow, all the kosher grasshoppers which were inadvertently roasted in the fire are permitted? That's on daf
Lamed Ches.
Good.
Number 7.
Which daf do we discuss kalim with the figures of the sun, moon, and dragon on them should be thrown into the Yom HaMelech? That's on daf
Membeis.
Good.
Number 8. Which daf do we learn that grain of cut chiltis is forbidden because it was cut with the Akum's knife and the chiltis is sharp? That's on daf
Lamates.
Good.
Number 9.
Which daf do we discuss how the decree against Shemen was revoked? That's on daf
Lamed Vav.
Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that the slave of a chaver and an Ashes chaver are considered like a chaver? That's on daf
Lamates.
Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.